Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
This is an awesome group this morning. Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to think about all the words that we're absorbing from God's Word today in light of this incredible event, historically, the resurrection of our Lord. In the epistle reading, we hear the application to this truth as God inspired Paul to write this chapter, and of course, all of these words of God as along with the other apostles. And at the early service, sunrise, I encouraged everybody. I know you're going to be busy today, lots of family traditions and meals and different things going on. But if you can just find a little bit of quiet time, some devotional time, just to sit down and read the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. An incredible chapter. I always refer to it as the resurrection chapter. The whole chapter addresses this incredible event and the application thereof. But did you catch it this morning, these words of Paul, as God inspired them? If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Hope in this life only. Now, Paul's addressing this in the context that there were many at that time who were denying the resurrection of the dead. And of course, Paul goes through this dialogue then that if the dead do not rise, then Christ could not have risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our faith is futile and we have hope in this life only. And we even more pitied than others because having hope in the living, resurrected Lord, if that isn't true, what a disappointment at the time of our own death. Hope in this life only. You know, that word hope is an interesting word because it's used so differently in our common language, in our culture today, compared to what hope means in Scripture. You know, when you think about hope, and we use it generally in this form, it's hope about things on this earth, and it's all very uncertain, isn't it? Like, boy, things are starting to dry out a little bit around here, so I would think many of us are hoping that it might rain tonight. I hear we're supposed to get a good rain, and we're hoping for that, but do we know that's going to happen? Don't have a clue. May not get any rain at all. But that's the way we hope. Or if you're into sports, you know, boy, I hope my team does a lot better this year. Well, we don't know what the outcome of the season is going to be for whatever team you may follow. And so when we say hope in that context, it's a term of great uncertainty. Imagine if biblical hope was like that. There wouldn't be a lot of celebrating here today, right? I mean, why come if there's only a chance of something happening and greater chances it won't, then why put our hope in a resurrected Christ? Well, the reason is hope in Scripture is a much different hope. It's a word of absolute certainty. In fact, this hope, as God reveals the hope, it's a gift that He gives to us. Faith, hope, and love, three of those precious gifts we hear of in Scripture that become our possession through that gift of faith. But hope is really longing for something that God has promised to us, and it's so certain that it will happen that it's as though we have that in our possession now. Isn't that cool? And so when we hear of hope in Scripture, the things that the Lord leads us to hope for, and the greatest of those is our own resurrection, our own dwelling in glory in heaven for eternity, we can bank on that. We know that it will happen, and it's so certain to happen that it's as though we already have that gift in our possession, and we really do. We live in this incredible hope, and we no longer need fear death. But let me ask you, as you come here this morning, and as I asked another question to the Sunrise people that were here, as we come to worship today, where do you place your hope, really? And I ask myself the same thing. It's a great day to reevaluate where we're really at in our faith journey, where we are really at as we come and worship God on this special day of the church year. But even as we come in this sanctuary, even as we sit in these pews, even as we gather together in worship this morning, God knows what's in each of our individual hearts. And you know what's in your heart, as I know what's in mine. And so be honest with yourself. Where do you really place your hope first and foremost? And you know, for some, they would say, well, by my actions and what I think about the most and kind of where my drive is, it's probably a successful career. Or, you know, it may be that I'm really striving to be a superstar in sports, and I'm really good at it, and I might make it to the professional level, and I'm going to give my all to that. That's my hope. Or when I drive by health clubs, boy, those places are packed. The parking lot, you can hardly find a place to park. And for many, it's, I want to have a healthy body. I want to have a really strong, good, healthy, vibrant body. That's my hope, and I'm going to put most of my energy there. For others, in light of that, it's living a long life. I want to extend my years of life upon this earth. For others, it may be, I hope there can be peace on this earth. Can there be a day when there's no more war? When we open the newspaper, well, we don't do that anymore for the most part, do we? When we look at the news feeds on our phone, wouldn't it be awesome if everything was about life and everybody getting along? Or maybe it's being financially secure. Boy, I hope that I can finally get to a place where I don't have to worry about money anymore. Well, that's just a few. But honestly, I'd like in your mind to look at your list. What does that list really look like? And you know, these things aren't necessarily bad. In fact, they can be very good, as long as it's not a misplaced hope. As long as this isn't the essential thing or things that you hope for and hope in your life. Because one thing I can guarantee you, it will come to an end. All of those things that we hope in worldly events and things, are not going to last forever. It reminds me of my dad. I'm glad Alvy's here, because Alvy, I don't know if I've ever shared this with you. I'm kind of a native Coloradoan. Alvy's going, oh no, Pastor Hafeman couldn't say such a thing. Well, my dad was born east of Fleming, Colorado, and extremely poor. The family, a lot of kids, and they ate well back in the Depression days, but they had virtually nothing. And I always remember the story of my dad. It's a story of hope. He was one of the older boys, and he was a trapper. And one of the things that he would trap was badgers. And Luke, I don't think I've shared with Luke this story. He'd enjoy that. But anyway, there was a certain kind of badger, a silver-tipped, and they paid a premium for those pelts. Now, here's my dad, a teenager, and he's got this silver-tipped pelt that he's going to take to Sterling, and he's with my grandpa, and dad's going to sell this, and he's going to get a lot of money for that for the day for himself. Well, when they got to Sterling, the banks crashed. And Grandpa looked at my dad and he said, you know, we can probably trade this pelt for some shoes for some of the younger kids in the family. Wow, look how my dad's hope was dashed. Or, you know, another interesting individual that I followed is Paul Allen. This is way to the other extreme. Extremely wealthy man when he died, $21.7 billion was his net worth. Paul Allen worked with with Bill Gates and starting Microsoft, and they really, really launched the PC revolution and of course, financially did very well. Paul Allen owned the Seattle Seahawks and the Portland Trail Blazers. And where I really got interested in him, I'm kind of an aerospace guy, I follow that industry, but all the billions that he made, his real hope was and passion, I don't know spiritually where he was at in his life, but in worldly hope, he wanted to develop the space program. And so he was pouring literally billions of dollars into his own space company. And just recently, a couple weeks ago in the news, the Strato launcher took off. And it's like two fuselages of a Boeing 747 that has a wing that is like 330 plus feet wide. And think about that. You could lay that long ways on a football field, and it would go through the end zones, and the tips would be up in the stands a little bit on each end. It's a huge airplane, and the idea is between the fuselages, you can launch very large rockets into space. And that's what they're going to be doing with this thing. And Paul Allen was just dreaming of the day when he was going to see his Strato launcher fly. That was his hope. But guess what? He died. He died less than a year before the Strato launcher made its first flight. Only 65 years old. Even if you're worth $21.7 billion, death comes the same as with my dad or with anybody on this earth. It's equal. We all are going to die. You know, there's a favorite movie of Lindy's and mine, favorite resurrection Easter movie, and the title of it is Risen. And if you can find that on Netflix or whatever, I really encourage you to watch it this week if you can. Titled Risen. But anyway, in the movie, it's about a Roman prefect who was there at the cross, saw Jesus die, and then later on, comes to believe in Jesus and is with Jesus when he ascends into glory. And anyway, Jesus and the prefect have a conversation. And when the prefect was with Pilate, he was sharing with Pilate, Pilate was kind of asking him, what do you dream of? What do you hope for in life? And this prefect had been in gruesome battles, ongoing. He saw a lot of people die. He stood at the crosses and saw those people die, including our Lord. And what the prefect said is that, I wish that I could have a day without death. That's what I would hope for. A day without death. And it's really cool when he's sitting by Jesus. Jesus, knowing his heart and mind, and said, prefect, I know that what you hope for. And Jesus stated it to him, a day without death. And today, in the presence of his Lord Jesus Christ, this Roman prefect who had come to faith was greatly blessed because something that he hoped for impossible by worldly standards was standing right in his presence, the Lord of life. The Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And so today, dear friends in Christ, think about that. If there would be something that we could hope for above anything else, wouldn't it be that we would overcome death? That we could experience life where death is no longer known? I mean, think about it. How has death affected you this past year? I'm sure all of us have been affected on a very close and personal level through friends or family or neighbors or being in the midst of an accident or something, being there when somebody dies. It's so shocking and it's so overwhelming.